Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather once again this morning. And Lord, as we look at another prayer in your precious word, Lord, help us to glean from it. And Lord, then help us to pray as you would lead us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're getting near the end of the Bible in our prayers. And this morning, we're in the prayer section of the book of James. That's the very end of the book, short two verses of finishing the book in the chapter 5. So I thought we would join in this hymn. It's on the front page of your notes, about 2 inches down. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. So let's sing along. Well, James is a very practical book, as we know, and what does James have to say about prayer, the Holy Spirit speaking through James? And we begin in verse 13 of chapter 5. And there's three categories here which may include all of us this morning in one form or the other. First is suffering. Anyone among you suffering? Anyone among you cheerful? Any among you sick? Well, we got a prescription for each of these three things. So verse 13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. So if you're suffering, you are to pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. When's the last time you sang a psalm? Or when was the last time you were cheerful? If you're cheerful, sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So those are the three recommendations there for the suffering, for the cheerful, and for the sick. The anointing with oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, I believe. I don't think the oil is necessarily... It was used for medicinal purposes in the Bible, particularly for open wounds and things like that. But generally, I think it is relating to the power of the Holy Spirit as we have that reference as well. And then verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, Now, whose faith is that? Is that the one's praying, or is that the one being prayed upon? Well, we have evidences in the scripture of prayers being answered of all kinds. We have the prayer being answered for the raising of Lazarus. I don't think he has much faith because he was dead. I think it's primarily the prayer of the faith who are praying. And we know that any healing that is done by the Lord is all in his sovereign will. And sometimes his will is to heal. Sometimes it's his will to give us the real permanent healing of taking us home and getting our glorified body. But we need to pray and ask if it is his will to heal the sick. And then it says the Lord will raise him up. What does that mean? Well, I think it means not only may the Lord raise him physically, but I think much more importantly, if need be, we'll raise him up spiritually and he will be born again. Because that's the true healing, is it not? To be healed permanently from the disease of sin. And it says, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now we know when the friends let their buddy down through the tiles in the roof in the time of Jesus' ministry, they came to have Jesus heal him. But what did Jesus say first? He said, your sins are forgiven you. And of course, if it is sin that is causing our sickness, and it could be, it is really good to confess our trespasses to one another. Confessing trespasses to one another does reveal secret sin, and that part of it is good. But we don't have to confess our trespasses necessarily to one another only. We need to really confess them to the Lord, don't we? But confess your trespasses to one another, expose your secret sin, and pray for one another that you may be healed. So here again is an exhortation to praise for one another, which would be basically intercessory prayer when we're praying for one another, that there may be that healing, whatever that healing is that's needed. And then he closes that verse with the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, in a sense, availeth much. So what is effective prayer? Well, one is praying. I think all prayer is effective, particularly if we're praying in accordance with the Lord's will. We had that great model in the garden where he prayed three times for the cup to pass from him, but again, it was always, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So effective prayer is praying with a heart aligned with the Lord's, wanting what he wants. The fervency, the same thing. We want to be fervent about the things the Lord is fervent for. Are you fervent for the things the Lord is fervent for, or are you fervent more for the things you're for and hope the Lord goes along with it? Well, I think we should be fervent for what he is fervent for, and then of a righteous man. I think that's a man living rightly. We don't have any really true righteous people on this side of heaven other than in his righteousness, certainly not our self-righteousness, but a person who is the Lord's, a person who is living rightly, that prayer would avail much because he's given us that power of prayer, hasn't he? He's given us that power of prayer. And then he brings into our memory here Eliah or Elijah, and we think of what a powerful man as he would pray and the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice there on Mount Carmel. He prayed and 3.5 years of drought occurred. He prayed again as instructed by the Lord and the drought was ended. So it says here, he was a man with a what? A nature like ours. After the great, great way the Lord used him, what did he do when Jezebel threatened him? He didn't see him, she just sent word to him. Tomorrow you're going to be toast, like those all those hundreds of prophets of Baal that you slaughtered. And what did he do? He ran, and he ran, and he ran some more. He ran a long way. He ran all the way back down to Mount Horeb, probably 120 miles. That's fearful, isn't it? How many times have we run 120 miles? Maybe not. Maybe we used a car. I don't know. But he was afraid. He has a nature like ours. And he doubted himself very much. And he was wrong in some cases because he said, Lord, I'm the only one left. And they're about to kill me. You're out of business, Lord. I'm the only one that's left. And the Lord said, no, I got 7,000 others in the land. You're not the only one left. We're not the only ones left. But he will use us. So Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, praying until his will was aligned with the Father's will is an earnest prayer, I believe. And as he was instructed to pray, he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then in 1 Kings 18, God promised him what? If he would pray again, if he would present himself again, then the drought would be ended. And he did, and the heaven gave rain. But remember, he had to pray another 7 times up on top of Mount Carmel for the rain to come. So even though the Lord had promised him, if you present yourself, rain will come, he still had to pray. There was still the need, and he didn't just say, yeah, Lord, okay, I did my share, now let's see the rain. No, he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. So he prayed 7 more times, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So we're here to pray, you're here to pray, and that's most of it, isn't it? Because it's not so much the technique in praying as it is just to pray, right? But we do want to pray that our will is aligned with his, and whatever we ask for, we want to make sure that nevertheless, not our will, but his will be done. Father, thank you for these precious instructions in your word. We thank you for the promise that our prayer will be strong because of your faithfulness. We are weak, Lord. We have very little faith. At times it seems like we have none, and maybe that's almost true. But Lord, we come in your faithfulness as your children, Lord, filled with your Spirit. And we know you hear our prayers. This is the confidence that we have that we ask anything in accordance with your will, you hear us. So Lord, guide us this morning in these prayers, and Lord, may they be in accordance with your will. We ask in Jesus' name. So let's pray.